to live righteously.
You can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching The Cultural Hall. We're also out there on Stitcher, or you can just go to theculturalhall.com. It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. On the phone with me right now, not from her backyard anymore. We tried, this is take two on this interview because we tried it and her cell phone dropped. It's Natasha Craig from Confessions of a Teenage Bride, and also you would probably recognize her from Modest is Not Hottest. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Now, give me an idea of where you come from. You're Utah born and raised?
Yes, I am. Grew up in Salt Lake City. I moved to Highland, Utah when I was 17, and I've been in this area ever since in Utah County.
Okay, so have you ever lived outside of Utah ever?
For 2 months, me and my husband lived in Dallas, Texas. That is the only time, though.
Uh-huh. What'd you think of Dallas?
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's a lot greener than Utah.
Oh, really?
Well, when it comes to, like, you know, the valley, the mountains here are gorgeous, but valley's a little dry.
Okay. I myself have never been to Dallas, so I'm surprised to hear you say that. But husband on an internship or something like that?
No, we actually worked at a car wash. You know, getting down and dirty at a car wash.
Sure. You know, we have car washes here in Utah.
Yeah, actually, this is a pretty unique one. They worked at the airport, and it was waterless. It was kind of, we got set up by his friend, just stood there to get some work right after we got married.
Okay.
Yeah.
When times are tough, you go to work at waterless car washes in Dallas. I get it. Okay. talk to me a little bit about your family. You only child, big family?
I have actually a pretty good-sized family. I'm the second oldest of seven.
Okay. So parents make it nine. Big Mormon family, right?
Yep, definitely. Typical Mormon family.
And then when you say Salt Lake, what part of Salt Lake?
West Side or West Valley.
Okay, so Hunter High School, Granger High School?
Yes, so that area.
Okay. And then moved to Highland. Now, the name of your blog is Confessions of a Teenage Bride. So let's go there first. How teenage bride were you?
I was 19 when I got married.
Okay.
So barely getting out of teenage, but I felt like it would make a good, catchy title.
Absolutely. No, it's a great title. Did you meet your husband in college, or?
I actually met him in our singles ward, another Utah,
Listen,
you know, match. But
that's why they're there. That's why we have them.
Yeah. So, I actually refused to go for a year because I was afraid everybody there was older and creepy, kind of. You know, I kind of ate my words after I met him.
But. Sure. Sure. You marry him and then you looked around and you're like, yeah, everybody else here is older and creepy.
No, they're all awesome.
No,
it was
I'm
a
kidding.
Lot different than I expected.
So did you just continue to go to family ward for a while and then end up going to the singles ward when you're like, okay,
yeah,
it's been long enough?
I stayed in my family ward till I was about 19 and then went over, got married shortly after.
Yeah. So you said you were in college, yeah?
Yes.
Where were you going to school?
Utah Valley University.
Oh, cool. So headed down there, and then how'd you meet your husband?
Well, it was at a FHE activity, actually, for our ward. I guess he'd seen me for a couple months. I was kind of oblivious to it, and he took maybe 6 months to work up courage to finally talk to me, so...
And then,
kind of cute.
Yeah, for sure. And then, so then finally he's like, okay.
Yeah, finally he actually had one of his friends break the ice.
Oh, geez.
I kind of tease him about that, but it worked out for him still.
What was the activity, do you remember?
It was just kind of like a game night.
Mm-hmm.
We just got together Sunday evenings, did like games, had some like dessert.
Yeah, this Sunday night we're playing apples to apples and eating brownie goo. And everyone's like, yay, apples to apples and brownie goo. And I'm not sure what brownie goo is, actually, now that I say that.
Yeah, me either, but...
But it sounds delicious, right?
It sounds like something I want to try.
So you guys meet up, and then was it that you're, as we're following the typical cycle, was it the love at first sight, I'm going to marry this person?
Well, actually, so he before he even met me, before he knew his name, he said he just knew he was supposed to marry me. Kind of freaked him out. he passed me in the hall, and he's like, I'm supposed to marry that girl. Like, he just felt that way.
Uh-huh.
Me, it was about on our first date when I got that. So we were pretty, we knew pretty much off the bat. We went on a date 2 days after we first met to a jazz game.
Did they win?
I actually think they did. I was kind of distracted. I don't know. But I think they did.
Distracted just because you were having so much fun with him?
Exactly, yeah. I was with a great date. Yeah, I paid attention to the game, but we were talking a lot, so.
So I'm going to guess less than 6 months till you guys were married. Am I right?
Exactly 6 months,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Engaged at 4 months.
Oh,
married at six.
This could not be more typical. Could it? Could it be more typical?
Probably not, actually.
Jeez. How old is he?
He is 24 now. I'm 21. So he was 22 when we got married.
Right. So he'd been home from his mission for about a year.
Yep. About a year. A month over a year. So.
I've never heard this story played out before in the history of Mormonism.
I know.
Never...
This is pretty unique. I think we're something special.
So how did he ask you to marry him?
We went to a beautiful restaurant. Well, okay. Let me start at the beginning here. I was at school and...
Utah Valley University.
This, yeah.
Yeah.
I was at Utah Valley University, just not expecting anything.
Mm-hmm.
I get this text from him that he wanted to take me out later that evening. Mm-hmm. I was like, that sounds good. I'm not doing anything. When I get home, I had a dress, high heels, necklace, you know, the whole yard laid out on my bed that he had set up for me,
mm-hmm.
saying, wear this. He had a card, wear this, be ready at... six for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that's cute. I was like, this has got to be something special. Get all ready.
Mm-hmm.
He picks me up and we went to, I don't know if you heard of it. It's Lakai.
Sure.
Restaurant.
Sure. That's
yeah. It's in,
for people
Hotwood
who don't,
Canyon.
Yeah. For people who
beautiful.
Don't know, it's like the expensive, when you think
yeah.
of expensive places in Utah, there's
oh, yeah.
a list of probably like, oh, maybe a top 10. And that is always
yep.
on the list.
There you go. Yeah. So we go there and you know, I mean, they have peacocks on their lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like, what is this?
Yeah,
so he had rented out a room for us.
Well.
A dining room. It was just us. He had rose petals on the floor, candles all around the room, a table in the middle of the room, just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a really nice dinner. And then after, the waiter brought in a little card with a rose on it. I mean, with the rose on the platter. And it kind of told the story about, he had never told me yet, but it kind of told how he knew he was supposed to marry me before he even knew his name.
Mm-hmm.
And
before he knew your
then,
name, he knew his name already.
Oh, thank you for that.
You're
yes,
welcome.
That's correct. Yeah, but it was that whole story of how he just knew. And after I'd finished reading it, I turned to him and he gets on his knee and asked me to marry him. So
did you cry?
Yeah.
This
well,
could not be more
I was,
typical.
I was so excited. I don't think I cried till after. I'm kind of one of those people that, you know, you get super excited or in shock or something
mm-hmm.
and then it all hits you later.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just in the moment at the time. So yeah, I was just really happy.
Did you ever think about saying no?
No, actually, like, I really didn't. We just kind of were so smooth. It was never any up and downs with us. It was just always really natural, so.
So, you decided to write this blog, when? When did you decide to start doing this?
Probably about a week or so before I actually posted it. Me and my mother-in-law were kind of just talking about, she's in Young Women's.
Uh-huh. Let's back up real quick, because I'm not talking specifically on the blog that we'll talk mostly about. I mean, just the whole blog in general. Yeah.
Oh, so it was a little bit after I got married. I had had this dinky little blog in high school that I just, it was really random. And I wanted to restart when I got married because I felt like it was a whole different page of my life. And I wanted to kind of keep track of just my adventures being newly married and the family I was going to have. So I did start it shortly after we got married just because I love to write and I wanted to kind of keep a record of my life.
Awesome.
My thoughts.
Let me ask you this. What was it called, the one that you did in high school that was random?
Ink on Paper.
I love it. That's cool. That's
yeah.
a great name.
I just wanted it to be something I could really write anything about. It's not really themed. It was more just, yeah, ink on paper,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So then you're just married a little while and you come up with Confessions of a Teenage Bride just because
yeah.
of the name, or was there something else to it?
It was mostly, well, sorry, ask that again. I
guess my question is Confessions of a Teenage Bride makes it sound like maybe when you were first married, you were like, oh, hey, these are things that I would have never thought marriage would have brought about, or, oh my gosh, this is secrets that no one ever told me. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was like, it was mostly, so I kind of, I'm kind of quiet and observative, and I just noticed lots of couples, we were just so happy when we first got married. Like, we've never really had a fight or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always had, I just noticed ways we were to each other, ways we treated each other, just things we did that just made us so happy. And it was kind of like, I wanted to kind of share those things I'd learned with others.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like my confessions, like, or like silly stories or, you know, anything where it's like, here's a confession I have, I do this, or so I know like confessions is more, I guess.
No, I think knowing the background that you're giving it, it makes it appropriate to be titled that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes people think Confessions of a Teenage Bride and it's like, and my husband is so controlling and I use this blog as an outreach. And obviously that's not what
it is. It's more secrets, like positive secrets, you know, like these are my thoughts. These are my little secrets of things that have worked in my life and I want to share them with you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
then you did it. You just decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to start this blog. Your husband pretty supportive of it?
Oh, yeah, he's totally supportive of it. He's always like, you have a gift for writing, so you go for it. And he always loves to read them, so he's awesome about it.
So now let's get to this last Sunday. You posted something that, I mean, you can probably give us an indication of how many thousands of people have viewed it now. But it's Modest is Not Hottest is what this blog post is called. First of all, how many people have seen it up to this point?
That particular post, I'm getting close to 800,000.
My gosh.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
That's insane to me. Does that blow your mind or you're like, no, I'm a great writer. Of course it would be that many.
Oh, well, it blows my mind because, I mean, I had written one a while back just about getting married young that went viral, but this one's going, it's bigger than that. And I never expected it to happen twice to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really appreciative of everybody who, you know, reads it and shares it, but also really, I'm impressed. Like, I'm surprised, and I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Where did the idea come from? Now let's talk about your mother-in-law.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we were just, me and my mother-in-law, just talking about, just she said she has lots of young women in her ward who, you know, they're trying to get the point across about why we're modest, and they just seem to struggle with it a bit, and so I was, like, kind of just thinking about it, and that's kind of what triggered it. I was like, I wonder, because when I was that age, I was the same way. Sometimes my young women leaders would say stuff. I'm like, you know, that's great coming from you, but you know what? It's just different, you know? You just don't relate to me, all this stuff. So I thought,
yeah, you're not the one at school trying to fit in. People are wearing
totally
things different than this. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, if I was that age, what would I want someone to say to me that would actually touch me?
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of just like, that was my inspiration. I wanted to kind of go at it in the way that if I was that age, I would have responded to it.
Okay.
So I just started writing off that idea, basically.
And for people who haven't read your blog, give them an idea of what it says, what it's about.
Well, I mostly wanted to, so there's so many ways you can approach the subject of modesty.
Right.
And I've got lots of comments kind of like, oh, you left this out, this. I really just wanted to focus on the idea of how incredible, like, young women are and how special they are and how the media in today's world really focuses on, like, your body image.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to convey, like, that young women are way more than that. Like, modesty is way deeper. It's, like, it's to protect, like, okay. So one of my readers commented comparing modesty to, like, the reason we do it is you're like a diamond, you're a jewel. Like, God hides those deep in the earth. Like, they're not just available for everyone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of that message where if you're so precious, you're so treasured, you got to protect that because there's a special time later in your life when someone's going to value you so much, and that's when you can share even deeper with someone. Like, that's when you can be hot, that's when you can be sexy. But, like, don't give away to everyone because you're worth way more than that, kind of a message. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I love it.
So,
go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead, huh?
I was just going to ask you, why do you think it's such a huge controversial issue?
Well, from my comments and stuff, I think it's so controversial because it's the whole idea I know lots of people said I was putting, they felt like I was putting off the message, like, you need to do this for guys because they can't handle it otherwise. And, you know, I think it's just so controversial because there's so many size, which I totally don't believe that. Like, I just think, like I said, like, it helps so tremendously because young women are so, like, so beautiful, they're so wonderful, that they do have such a huge influence on those around them, that it's just helpful to make that easier for people because you're so wonderful. Mm-hmm. I just think it's controversial because you have people who want to appear a certain way and they, I don't know, it's a hard issue, really.
It is. You know, one of the things that that we've actually talked quite a bit about, though, is about the harm in not having people be responsible for their own actions. And I think uh-huh. that's where a lot of people probably would come at you a little bit.
Yeah.
Is, you know, this idea that, oh, well, men can't control themselves, so we need to help them in their own agency.
Yeah. And that's true.
What do you think about that?
Well, this is how I view it. I don't know. This might be a really silly analogy, but have you ever heard of those? My dad said when he was in California for school, they did this weird experiment where your classrooms, they didn't have any walls blocking the classes from each other.
Okay.
So all the teachers are talking, and you can kind of overhear them, both sides of you, and you have to focus in on your teacher. And they said it, by doing that, you know, you concentrate greater, it helps you actually pick up better, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
I compare this to the whole men controlling their thoughts, women, that whole relationship,
mm-hmm.
as in, like, say, a guy is trying to focus, you know, trying uh-huh. to maybe keep good thoughts, whatever, and he can totally do it. Like, it's totally his responsibility, you know, like, I don't give women any of the blame for anything a guy thinks, whatever.
Sure.
But I just am aware, like in those classrooms, if there's walls up, it's just much easier to focus. It's not that they can't do it. It's just so helpful. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess I see it that way. Like, you know, it's totally a guy's responsibility, but women can help out tremendously. Is all, like, my belief.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not their fault at all, but they can just contribute to making it easier.
What do you think,
to concentrate.
What do you think about men and modesty?
Men's immodesty?
Yeah, men's... I said men and modesty, but yeah, men's immodesty. And
oh,
how,
that works.
How it almost seems like there's sort of a double standard.
Oh, I think it goes both ways. I think the reason it's focused so much on women is just because of... It's so huge in the media, so I think people get more heated about it. But I think men, it's more, obviously, you know, hanging pants, like all these different things. Like, it's just, it's a respect thing. I think men just don't get it as hard because it's not so much in the media.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a big thing for men with modesty is also even more than clothes, like the expression, you know, like their, how they speak. Like, that can be a big thing, modesty with men. I don't
know. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because not only with your blog recently, but also here in Utah at the high school up in Wasatch County,
uh-huh.
there were people who in their high school yearbook had their photos made more modest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, Photoshopped, and they had, like, sleeves and, you know, cleavage mm-hmm. covered up and tattoos and things like that. And it's interesting to note in that particular yearbook and at that particular school that all of the people that were modified were all women in that respect
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of a fascinating topic, certainly one that we've talked about here in the Cultural Hall before. So you get a huge response like this. So now what?
Well, now I keep going at it. Like, now that I'm getting more views, more followers, I really want to use that to be a good influence in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I know worldwide, maybe some people, everybody has different beliefs, but I just feel like there's morals, values that so many people worldwide share, and I just want to share mine, get those out. Like, I just want to influence people. I want to make people feel better about themselves. I want to make people have better relationships. I just want to do all I can to be a good voice in the world.
Do you want this to be a full-time thing? Is this just a casual thing? Do you work and have other employment?
No, I actually, well, I don't really work, but this started out more hobby, and I don't want it to be where I'm just doing it for, if I do ever do it and get money off it. I don't want it to be like that. I want it to be because I just love to write. Mm-hmm. It's just something I love so much that if I was able to make like an income off it, whatever, that's great. Mm-hmm. But that's not my focus.
Just being good and doing good.
Yeah. I just want to make a difference in the world. Really. That's all I want.
Let me ask you this. How will you know if you've made a difference?
You know what? I think any time I get a comment, even if it's 10 people who view it and I get one comment, or it's, you know, thousands, I get thousands of comments, just even one of those comments, like, I know I've made a difference. Like, I've had girls message me personally and just say, thank you so much, I need to hear that. And, like, that alone is making a difference for me. Like, a wide scale, that's just, like, cherry on the top, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I already have, in a way, like, even if I make a difference for one person.
Yeah, and I guess that maybe was where I wanted to point out to you. I feel like if what you want to do is make a difference, I feel like you have. I think that the difference that you can make can be greater, and certainly can increase as mm-hmm. you know, these things continue to come from you and be shared. But, you know, the focus on, especially at this point, that, hey, you know what? Stop for a second. You have made a difference.
And that means a lot. Yeah, it means a lot to hear you say that, too.
People can find you, I know, just by searching your name, Natasha Craig, mm-hmm. blog, but the actual blog address is?
It's mylifeasacraig.blogspot.com.
Okay. And people can check that, and you can read through the other stuff that you've done. What was the other one that you said went viral? Which, by the way, we're going to come up with another term, because the things went viral, that's getting too old.
You're getting more hip.
Yeah. We're gonna. I don't know what it is yet, but we're gonna get hipper than that went viral.
All right, I'll start thinking. Maybe I can start a hashtag or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Would you mind? Would you help us out?
Yeah, I'll try to do that. So the other post was called "What I Gave Up the Day I Got Married."
And what was it?
Well, I kind of played with words there, just talking about the idea of so many people when I get married young saying you're giving up your life, like this is way too early. Go out and do something. And I didn't feel like. When I said it, what I gave up, like, I was like, they're absolutely right. I gave up so many things. And I just said things like, I gave up my heart. I gave my heart to someone else. I gave up, you know, my hopes and dreams. I shared my secrets. You know, like, it was stuff like that, like positive giving up.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to kind of play with that idea that, yeah, like, maybe you're younger, but you're not really giving up stuff. You're just giving up and you're gaining by giving up.
Yeah. I'm gaining more. I'm not giving it up. I'm giving it more.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Confessions of a Teenage Bride. It's Natasha Craig. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes and talking about this blog, and best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you.
Looking for a change in your workout? Are you looking for real results? Pure Bar is the fastest, most effective, yet safest way to transform your body. In just 55 minutes, you will achieve a full body workout on the areas women struggle with the most: hips, seat, abs, and arms. The Pure Bar technique is low impact, protecting your joints by avoiding any bouncing or jumping. The technique works to defy gravity by tapering everything in and lifting it up. Come check out Pure Bar today in Draper at 123rd South and 200 East, just 3 blocks east of the freeway. Your first class is free and there's no obligation. Mention that you heard this ad on Cultural Hall and take 10% off any class package. Give us a call at 801-523-6215 or visit us online at www.purebar.com. That's PUREBARRE.com and select the Draper, Utah location. Pure Bar. Lift. Tone. Burn.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
We invite you to claim your courage by shedding shameful thoughts, actions, and feelings that disrupt your ability to live authentically or feel connected to others by letting go of fear, blame, and your idea of perfection. The Healing Group, where women go for hope, growth, and healing. We're the home of the Sex Girls. Are you a mother feeling lost in a relationship and feeling stuck? Are you feeling overwhelmed by life? Schedule an appointment now. Can't make it to our office? No problem. Meet with a therapist individually or with a group in our virtual clinic right from the comfort of your own home. Visit thehealinggroup.com for more information.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. Oh.